When was the last time you refreshed your bedding? Sleep cooler with Avocado's naturally breathable, certified organic sheets. Choose from GOTS-certified organic cotton, linen, or hemp, all made-safe certified to the highest standards of non-toxic safety, delivering the ultimate in luxury, sustainability, and style, and a deeper, more restorative sleep. Join Avocado's mission to be one of the world's most sustainable brands at avocadomattress.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I love that. They're like literally, that was what, a quarter second intro?
Yeah.
It just straight sounds like a mistake. Like almost said this. Nigel, I have a story. Yes. I would like to share with you that I think means you are me. Are you an A-list YouTuber? Is he A-list? No, he's like B. I want to say
S-tier.
Or a YouTube. No, not tier. I'm saying like list, like A-list, like an A-list celebrity. You're walking down the street, you see Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
That's A-list, right? You're like, holy shit. Or what's Jablinski Games, that YouTuber? What's his real name? Like, oh, Jack Black.
Yeah.
A-list celebrity, okay, right? Like, you see them and you're like,
didn't even know who you're talking
about.
It's
Jablinski Games.
It's Jablinski.
And then you've got YouTubers, right? So like, who's the A-list YouTuber? Like, maybe Mr. Beast is probably the most recognizable, maybe?
Yeah.
He's probably the biggest.
He's probably A-list, right? Mark Rober, but like, dude, half the time I talk about Mark Rober with people in regard to Open Sauce, like, oh yeah, you know, he's like one of my go-to examples. Like Mark Rober, Michael Reeves, like they're like, who's that? And I'm just like, oh, well.
You know Jenna Marbles?
Yeah. Like, so it's like for YouTube, I think A-list is like maybe B-list, no, C-list, B or C-list celebrity, right? Our A-list. Our YouTube A-list celebrity.
M-list.
Is equivalent to maybe like a B or C-list Hollywood celebrity.
Like us?
Maybe not.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying us. I'm just saying, what I'm trying to say is that I think Nigel might be, for YouTubers, an A-list celebrity.
What
has made you?
Oh, I'm not sure that would be mentally good for us to discuss.
Hey, depends on the demographic. Yeah. It's all relative. You know, people know who I am, and they don't even know who, like, you know, who the governor is.
Yeah, that's
so,
true. Yeah. It's because their priorities are straight.
Yeah.
The one thing I'd say too is,
I have a story. I just want to say one quick.
Yeah, but this is about what you just said. Just very quick. There have been many times,
dude. He just hijacked
that
story.
I've mentioned.
He cut me off.
No. I want to know your story. I'm just mentioning the Michael Reeves because you mentioned him. There have been so many times. Yes, exactly. There have been so many times that I've met somebody and it somehow came up that I do YouTube. And they go, oh, what do you do? They have no idea who I am.
It's a good
I'm like,
feeling.
Oh, science stuff.
You know.
I'm like, science. No, but I'm like, science stuff. They're like, oh, really? Maybe I've seen it before. I'm like, oh, have you seen like Will Osmond? They're like, no. Kevin, the Backyard Scientist? No. They don't know my channel? Then I'm like, Michael Reeves? Oh, I know that guy.
You know Michael Reeves?
The number of times that has happened is, it's enough. It's enough that it doesn't surprise me. That's it. That's all I wanted to say.
Fixed it. How do we stop that light from...
That's always awkward at Open Sauce when people come up and they know me, but they don't know Peter Sripel, or they like know Alan Pan, but then I'm just kind of like standing over there in the corner like they want a picture with me too.
Or the worst is if like you're with them and it's like Alan's like, hey, you want a photo? This happened with Alan. I'm pretty sure he's like, hey, you want a photo with Kevin too? And the guy's like, no. Like kind of like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I'm like, you want me to take the picture?
I personally think that it's better to be cringe and make sure that whoever is meeting you gets 100%, what they want. That's kind of my, like, oh, do you want a picture with anybody else? And they say, he's like, whatever. You know, you, like, it's better to ask and just endure the potential awkward outcome. Because, like, I, you know, when if I see somebody in public, very rarely where he's like, oh, I want to get a picture. Like, it's, it is awkward. You're like, you feel like you're invading their space. And
yeah,
it's like, you know, I'm just leave them alone kind of thing. And so you might be hesitant to do it. So if they ask for it, it kind of, like, if, you know, you ask, do you want a picture? It kind of opens the invitation. So they don't necessarily have any regrets of, like, oh, I should have just asked. Like, you just give
and then
it to
they
them.
Can then they can have the power to say no.
Yeah, see, that's
do you want a photo? No, why would I want that? Move.
There's a
dude, I'm having flashbacks right now.
But I need your story. Your story is now, it's so delicious.
No, I've got a story for you. Okay, it's related to this.
Fine. We can
we're like two.
My story's not that good. Okay. It's pretty good, actually. So this, we'll go after that.
Why
this is bringing up some trauma for me, all of this. So this one time.
You're voluntarily reliving this?
It's too late. It's already hitting me. I have to get it out. This is okay. I got to tell you guys what happened so this doesn't happen to you.
Okay.
I was at a hotel. I'm walking out and this guy's like, "Hey, can I get a picture?" He's like from a different country.
Okay, yeah, I know. I know. I can. Oh,
so
God, yes,
I think no, I know.
No, I don't even. You don't even finish the story.
And
I
I'm like,
exactly where this is going.
Do you want to use? Do you want like me to take the picture? And then he's like, yeah. So I grab his phone, I go up next to him, and I do a selfie, and he's like, no, of me, take a picture of me.
I actually think that is you being that's a powerhouse move on Kevin's
behalf. This guy probably was like, dude, what, like, this guy.
He was telling that story thinking you were fucking with him.
Uh-huh. But no, I was like, I'm like, am I sure I heard him right? Like, what did he say?
Bah.
He was like, yeah, do you want a picture? And I'm like, yeah, okay. So I walk up, I grab his phone, and then I, like, immediately take a selfie.
Dude, that is, honestly, that's not even cringe. That's awesome. That's like,
oh man,
my kind of I think MO with taking pictures, like, if I ever find a celebrity in public, I've had this thought for a while, I haven't had the opportunity to actually execute on it, I 100% will do that on purpose. Like, hey,
it's such a mind fuck.
Can I get a picture?
Yeah.
And then he give them the camera. Like just, like, let it drag out so that you're kind of, like, leading into it, and then you hand them
why?
The camera. To be evil. I don't know. I just think it's very funny.
Kevin has to do that to balance the universe out.
Oh, that's right. I've got to do it to somebody else now. Pay forward.
Get a picture, just hand them your camera.
I'm gonna do that to Mark Rober at Open Sauce. Adam Savage.
All right, here's my story.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I went to the dentist the other day because my teeth was all fricked up. Big old chunk fell off when I was eating pizza. It was a bad feeling.
Pizza?
Dude, I don't know. That scared me. And I was like, well, there goes all my teeth. And he knows I do YouTube. I don't remember. I think I've just sort of given up when people are like, oh, what do you do? You know how the dentist makes small talk when they've got, you know, a bunch of tools in your mouth?
Accounting.
I've just, like, given up on trying to, like, circumnavigate. I guess it depends on where I am.
Yeah.
What do you do? It's like, oh, I'm an engineer. And then they stop asking questions. Because if you say YouTube, then the questions, like, ramp up.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean,
like, how much money do you make?
Yeah, I swear. That used to be the most
common
one.
Is that your full-time
job? That's, like, less common of a question now.
They're curious about how you make money on YouTube, not really how much you make.
The full-time job is still a question, I've noticed.
Yeah.
But, like, the first question, I've 8 years ago, when I started, that was always the question, was like, how do you make money?
That is true.
And now it's like, oh, is it your full-time thing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the sort of stigma, I think, has gotten less. It's less bad than it
used to be. Or even they just go, oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's it. I've had just, like, no follow-ups.
So I told him. I just straight up told him when he asked. I was like, I do YouTube, you know, because it's kind of fun to see, like, where people's head go when you ask that question.
Yeah.
And, you know, because you're kind of a captive audience. You're trapped there. You know, you're, like, basically pinned to a chair with needles in your mouth. And so he can just ask you anything. And there's nothing interesting about that part of the conversation. But basically, he knows I do YouTube. And so I went back to get my pizza tooth explosion fixed. And he was like, oh, I've been watching this channel called Red Nile. And I was like, oh, Nile Red? And he's like, yeah. Have you seen that guy? And I was like, yeah, I know him. We do a podcast. And he was like, oh, what's the name of the podcast? I was like, no, you really, no, don't. I'm not going to tell you. Please don't listen to the podcast.
So what do you want to say to the dentist? Did he do a good job?
He did a great job. I feel like maybe he did a good, extra good job with me.
Because he knew that this review might be coming.
Yeah, he knew that I might talk smack about him. But he's actually the first dentist that I've been to that has like the tooth scanner, which is kind of cool. They basically stick this like toothbrush in your mouth, but there's
does that.
And it's cool because they made a night guard for me, which is just like it snaps in your top teeth. Like it's 3D printed resin.
Okay.
That print it there when you get your teeth scanned. But the machine can also compare your teeth. So I didn't know that until this time. He like pulls in the teeth scan from 3 years ago.
Whoa.
And then it shows like the height difference. And I was like, that's fucking cool.
The height difference. Oh, like how much they've worn down or something.
And so you can see, you can literally like digitally see where your teeth are wearing down.
Whoa.
And I thought that was super interesting. And I asked him for the files last time. He never sent them to me, but I think I might pester him again. I don't know what the hell I would ever do with them. But like a high resolution.
It just does like the top of your teeth. It doesn't do the sides.
No, it does everything. The guy is basically plunging your throat with this wand.
Like a LiDAR.
God, that sounds bad. No, it is. I think it strobes and stuff too.
But I haven't been to the dentist in 3 years.
I don't like going to the dentist. Actually, I wanted to share something. I should have researched this before I say it, but I can't imagine that this will cause any problems. Apparently, you're supposed to not rinse your mouth out when you brush your teeth at night.
Hmm.
When I was trying to figure out...
That's with only fluoride toothpaste.
Yeah. I think all toothpaste has fluoride in it, no? What else would they put in it?
Some has extra. I know with the ones that explicitly state with fluoride, because I use it, the dentist was like, yeah, don't rinse your mouth when you're done.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
I never heard that either, but like, I think
I still
it makes
do it.
Sense, right?
Maybe.
It's to keep the fluoride
right,
on it.
It keeps, like, if you flush the, toothpaste residue, you are, like, I think apparently the fluoride has to, like, absorb into your teeth, like, which is why they put it in drinking water. It's like, it spends a little bit of time in your mouth and then some of it goes in
over
your
time.
Teeth. Yeah.
I just figured of it would end up like in crevices or like under your gums.
You think that until you bite into a piece of pizza and your tooth falls in.
So if you go to the dentist and get fluoride, if you go to the dentist and get fluoride treatment, they tell you don't eat or touch it for like, and you feel it on your teeth for like 2 hours.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's my gamer theory. I've started doing that. I don't rinse my mouth out after brushing my teeth now. I just go to bed and enjoy the taste of mint for an extra 30 minutes.
When you wake up, does your mouth still taste bad?
No.
Really? Because every time I wake up, my mouth, I have morning breath and I'm like.
Your dogs sleep in your room, right? You should put a security camera up and see if they're like.
Licking me?
Sticking
Frenching me?
In your mouth in the middle of the
night. They might be.
But I want to say about the fluoride. I forgot to say. Do you believe in fluoride?
I'm
just joking.
That, yeah, are we actually gonna go
Let's
there?
Go there.
No. So the when you drink fluorinated water, because when you brush your teeth, that is like, I don't know if it's classified as topical administration, but the drinking fluoride is systemic. So the fluorine gets to your teeth.
Mm, I don't like that word
from
systemic.
Inside
That's
your body.
That's kind of scary. Yeah. I don't like systemic
and I think,
fluoride.
I remember reading there was a debate that, between the efficacy of the systemic route versus like putting it on your teeth. And some people have debated that, which is, I guess, why people are taking it away. Not based on science, but there was a debate that the systemic fluoride for a while, like, didn't do anything or something.
Isn't there a Canadian study that showed it had a 10% like decrease in like dental issues?
I thought it was. I haven't looked that deeply into everything, but I thought it was pretty conclusive that if you take it away,
it's bad.
It's like
10%. Like it's a statistically significant decrease in people's quality of teeth.
What's the argument against it?
Dude,
I am not even entirely sure.
I think it's just like chemicals in my body. Is it like
I think
ripping
they say
on
it's like
and cigarettes?
Your brain it calcifies your pineal gland.
Is that
or something?
That
it's nothing.
Which, number one,
as far
is,
as I know,
calcify. That would be calcium.
Not.
That would be fluorify.
Yeah.
I was gonna say that it's kind of one of these things where, in the medical world, there are probably legit debates where people are like, is fluorination, are the benefits
it's
worth the cost and like all the stuff to do it? And they're basically either saying, does it work or does it just do nothing?
But also, like if there are side effects, are the side effects worse than the benefit, right?
Like, I think it's so low that I think there are like medically no known side effects.
Really?
So I think the actual debate is, does it work or are we kind of wasting our time? Whereas then there's another camp of people just blaming every ailment they have. Mm. Like I remember years ago watching a dude on YouTube who was blaming
fluoride for making you think dudes are hot.
he all of his YouTube videos, he was just shirtless. I remember he was kind of a hairy dude. Yeah. Like, and he was kind of a hairy dude. And this is
how did you find this channel?
it was got a lot of views. This is probably like 10 years ago. I would say he wasn't hairy. He was furry. Okay.
Why is this going?
No, but he's just, I'm picking
him. Describe more about his body hair.
Yeah. He's a guy who's like moderately overweight, but has a big beer belly and who's kind of furry. It's like he had skinny arms, but a big belly. This is relevant. So all of his videos, he would be like that. This is my memory. But the way he sat in the chair, you would see his fat ripples, but all of his ailments were in the crevices. Like, he would show you, be like, this is what the fluoride's doing to my body. It's causing, like, these rashes.
He would, like, lift
ever
up
since
his
I moved.
Fat his fat.
It wasn't like that. It wasn't like, he wasn't, like, morbidly obese. It was just that when he, like, bent over, it clearly was, like, those flaps would exist in most of his positions. But he was blaming it.
Nightmare.
And he was like, ever since I moved, I forget. He's like, ever since I moved to this state, I've been having all this, and they have fluorinated water here. Mm. And he's blaming it. And there were so many comments going, you move to a humid state and you probably don't shower. They're like, you have a fungal infection.
It's called a bad experiment.
Like,
yeah.
They're like, in between, you notice that all of the rashes are where it's like the folds of your skin. Right. You need
to
shower properly.
The water gets trapped in the folds of my skin and the fluoride bleeds into my skin and gives me these rashes. Yeah,
the chub rub.
He was so convinced that it's because he moved to a state that has fluorinated water and he had. I doubt I'll find the videos.
What turned
but
the frogs
just like,
gay? What was that one about?
I don't know. They're putting something in the
water. Like pharmaceuticals, like people flushing their birth control or something like that. Or BPA, like the plasticizers in the water. I don't know. Isn't the fluoride just supposed to supplement what we would get if we were cavemen and we were like sucking on rocks? And
I think so.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like a natural diet.
No, like, it's such a low concentration.
Eating enough of your vegetables. Yeah.
Right.
That sea salt. It's kind of like if you go, like, this is the thing that always, this is like another part of it too, where people, you know, the classic people who always go like, oh, natural's better. And they'll be like, you get some people who go, oh, well water, like, you know, the natural or natural spring water is
no,
like,
I think
cleanest.
That's the problem with everybody in Florida. They're drinking spring water, the well water.
But the thing is that in some places in Florida. But it's like you analyze the water in some of those places and they'll be like, dude, there's arsenic in this. There's like a decent amount of arsenic.
In tap water?
But they'll be like, oh, it's fine. No, but like in well water and stuff because it leaches in from the mineral table. And they're like, there's arsenic and there's certain places you're not really supposed to drink the well water because there's high heavy metals. Drinking it once is fine, but long term is not great. But people will still do it and they'll be like, oh, I'm fine. But then they'll be like, but no fluorine. Fluorine's bad because that's been added. And you're like, You're willingly, you don't care about the heavy metals, but you care about like the fluorine that's in like such low concentration that it doesn't even matter. Yeah. But then it just doesn't make sense.
Everything's a conspiracy, I guess, at this point. I feel like it, like thinking that fluorine in the tap water is bad, but then getting on an airplane is okay. Is like, well, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's like a conspiracy about the tap water, but every other convenient part of your life. I guess they talk about 5G like this too. Hmm.
So sea salt is 40 ppm fluoride.
Oh.
Yeah.
No one's ever talking about that.
Yeah, yeah. People like their natural
it's
sea
like
salt.
How,
it's like iodized
salt. No one complains about iodine in their salt.
Yeah, but I feel like they would where did the fluoride thing start?
Is what 1.4 milligrams per liter in seawater.
Where did the fluoride debacle start? When did that start? Did people complain about it when it was first implemented? Like, when did that, when did those complaints start happening? Was it, I mean, when's the first time you
hold on? I just found a website, poisonfluoride.com.
Oh, no.
They're going to tell us what's bad about it.
Okay. What's the verdict? Why?
Who
prove, convince me?
Does fluoridated salt wait, cost?
Wait, more? I want to read this. I want to read this for you guys. Okay. I asked ChatGPT, what are the negative potential effects? Basically, it's like with too much fluorine, it can mess with your skeletal system, especially in kids. And it was like high fluoride might lead to thyroid problems. It says it can also affect children's IQ. This was, and under the neurological concerns, it goes, some studies, especially in high fluoride regions, suggest potential links between fluoride exposure and reduced IQ in children. But then it goes, limitations. Many of these studies had a confounding factors, brackets lead, like arsenic or lead in the water, making the conclusions difficult.
Oh, no. It turns out it might actually just be shitty tap water is the problem.
So some animal studies suggest high fluoride levels may affect reproductive hormones.
But
it's current, in humans, it's weak.
When the first house we rented, the house we rented with Michael Reeves, had a water filter, an RO filter, and every house after that I have installed one because it just, like, it does make the water taste better. But RO water is, it sucks the things out of you, right? Like RO water has some potential, right, to like pull minerals. Like, what's
long term? It's one of those things where it's like I looked into it. Drinking distilled water or like reverse osmosis water is only bad. It will cause potentially like low potassium, other, because to expel it, sometimes it's like you just flush out ions with it. But that only happens if you're only having water.
Mm.
Like if you are just eating food, you're gonna probably replenish, make up that mineral content. So you're not getting your minerals from your water.
But will it like suck stuff out of your teeth?
I think if you're eating a normal diet, I don't think it's from what I looked into, I don't think it's going to have a huge effect. But if you have like, you know, you're hiking and you're eating like, you know, a granola bar a day and you just drink like RO water, I think you might
maybe have them problems.
Have problems. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't looked too deep into it.
Because I think I read, or someone was telling me, and I don't know how true any of this is, but like sort of like hypertension is retaining water, right? Hypo is not retaining water?
Yeah.
Because like it...
Well, hypertension is just high blood pressure, right? But that means you have more
volume. A lot of different reasons. Yeah.
So like, you know what? I don't even know.
Do you have hypertension?
I don't think I have anything, and I think I'm just going to keep drinking RO water. I think I'm going to keep not rinsing my mouth out after brushing my teeth.
So wait, this was an interesting thing I found. It says, basically, according to ChatGPT, but I think it's reasonable, the levels that the WHO designates, which are 0.7 milligrams a liter, studies show it's safe and effective, and it shouldn't have a problem. Except, it says, over a long period of time, especially if you are exposed excessively somehow, there are potential negative outcomes, especially for kids and kids with pre-existing kidney issues. But then I thought the interesting part says, or people who live in areas with naturally high fluoride levels.
Apparently it'll make your teeth yellow.
Maybe. But apparently in Texas, West Texas and the Panhandle, groundwater contains high fluoride levels. So there's places that just, I didn't even know that, just have naturally high levels of fluoride that could potentially be higher than, it says there are places, like there's health concerns in like Texas and those places where people have private wells, but they think it's safer because it's not fluorinated, but it is because the natural fluorine levels are higher than the fluorinated water.
So it looks like opposition to fluoridation has existed since the initiation in the 1940s. And then during the 1950s and 60s, conspiracy theorists basically claimed that fluoridation was a communist plot to undermine American public health. But like, why? Why is it just a fear-mongering thing?
Yeah, government bad. You know, I don't want them putting stuff in my water. Distrust.
So the controversy.
The lead in there is natural. Public opposition. And I will drink that.
I'll be right back.
That's what I don't get. It's like, there's this big push to get rid of fluorine in the water, but have they fixed Flint, Michigan yet?
No, I feel like there's if there's like an active solution, people don't want to do it. But if there is something that's being done, like active versus passive, right? Like lead in the pipes is passive, but fluoride in the water is active. Like no one is saying to remove the fluoride out of the supply that it's naturally in. They just don't like the idea of it being added artificially. I don't know why.
That reminds me of there was a business book I was reading a long time ago, you know, to try to be a professional businessman. And it actually was explaining that what you just described, that psychological effect or thing, is actually one of the big reasons why businesses fail, like being presented with like an active or passive choice.
Yeah.
And they were like, they gave an example of a beer company and they're like, seltzers are taking off. And you've noticed for the past 5 years, you're losing 5% profit margin every year or like 5% revenue. And you crunch the numbers and you're like, if this goes for the next like 3 years, we're bankrupt, where we can't make it.
Right.
So someone goes, we got to get into the seltzer market or else, or do something. They were like, a lot of businesses are presented with this, but many of them will choose to ride the death spiral because
they don't want to take the risk. It's liability for the person who makes the decision.
If you don't make a decision, well, you know, what could we have done? Yes. It was bound to happen.
Dude, it's a trolley problem, but instead of people, it's a business.
Yeah. They're like, but if we make the decision, then I killed the business.
Yeah.
And so I'd rather do nothing. And so the big thing in the book was saying that's the fallacy of that like psychological thing is choosing to not do something is also a decision. So it's like in both ways, you are actively deciding, but you somehow convince yourself that you're not responsible for that decision.
Yeah, it was not out of your control, but you're not directly responsible for the outcome.
But it even is like the trolley problem when you're like, do you pull the lever and kill like these people or not do it and kill these people? It's like just because you had the option, you then still chose to kill those people. Whether you touched the lever or not, that was still an active decision. So it's just like, but you'd like to view it as passive. Like, look, man, I did nothing. But it's like you chose to do nothing.
What else do they put in water, right? Chlorine?
Because
you have to chlorinate your water, right?
Yeah, but that's fine. That doesn't matter.
But what happens when you drink chlorine?
It's fine. It's just like a little bleach.
I'm just saying.
It's good. It's fine.
Just asking questions. Is drinking a little bit of chlorine fine?
Killing your microbiome. Okay, so
First of all, bleach is fine to drink.
I agree. If you do it in large enough quantities.
Also, there's that whole thing. Kevin, do you know about it? It's not bleach, but it's like similar to
like
bleach.
Like chloramine or something, some other weird bleach compound?
No, it's basically bleach, but they claim it can like cure autism.
Oh, that stuff. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, yeah.
Like is it MMO?
No, it's like a sodium. It's like a
MMO.
Hypo.
It's something water.
Sodium chloride.
So what was the Veritasium black balls? Veritasium's black balls video.
Oh, it's MMS. It was MMS.
Miracle mineral solution.
Yeah, chlorine dioxide.
Yeah, chlorine dioxide.
What does that do?
It cures autism.
Holy shit!
It does. Everything, dude. It does everything.
You got to get it to RFK immediately.
Why haven't we implemented? But then the tap water.
It's also a really good sterilizer, and they like clean stuff with it in the food industry. I think.
Really?
Yeah. And it literally does everything.
It'll clean the autism right out of somebody.
Yep.
Who did this study?
I mean, like
the people.
The people. Do we know which people?
It's.
John said it cures COVID. Thank you.
Okay, I'm changing the light. Sorry. Everyone who's listening to this podcast and can't see it, there's a light behind us that reacts to loud noises and it changes color. And so we have to yell to get it back to the right color.
The thing that you brought up, like what's in water, it is just like mind-blowing thing where it's like fluorine, bad.
Yeah.
Almost literal bleach, good. That's fine. That's fine.
No one thinks about it.
And it's like the people, lead, fine. Lead's fine. Also, drinking, some people drink hydrogen peroxide to like oxygenate themselves. Wait, that's fine.
Isn't carbonated water acidic? Yeah, right?
It is.
Carbonic acid?
Yeah.
So mildly. Like, what if you just said that like all these soda waters have acid in them? And the acid,
I mean, they
will
do
erode your teeth. Like, but what if that's your narrative? Your narrative is like, it's less about the soda being unhealthy and the water. It's like there's acid. What, remember the like the meme?
Look
at,
that is
look
the thing.
At ingredient
my mom,
number four on this.
Phosphoric acid.
Acid. That's phosphoric the bad one, right? Acid.
That one's apparently bad.
You know what? There's phosphoric acid in
D-rusted.
In 2015,
yeah, nerve
an investigation in MMS with a
pesticides.
Reporter posing as a family member of a person with autism. The BBC reporter was sold two bottles containing sodium chloride and hydrochloric acid by a self-styled Reverend Leon Edwards linked to the Genesis 2 church in the United States. Edwards told the reporter that the solutions would cure nearly all illnesses. That is, that right there is the huge red flag. Illnesses and conditions, including cancer, HIV. Okay. Really? Do people still fall for this?
Yeah,
he recommended 27 drops per day for a baby. Laboratory analysis later showed that the concentration of both bottled solutions was far stronger than advertised. Edwards
a
told
deal.
The reporter. What? Yeah, first of all, yeah, that is always a win.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. Second of all, really all conditions? Like, that's mm-hmm. that's the selling point?
Like, that's what we've been missing this whole time.
Oh, my God. This government's been hiding that, this miracle thing that will cure everything,
yeah.
including old age.
Our body's like, man, if I just had a little bit more of that stuff.
Chloride solution.
Yeah.
The thing that gets me, though, because kind of going that conspiracy theory that, you know, there's cures for everything, but the government just hides it. The thing that always gets me is, if you've worked in academia before, it's like just one, there's one simple thing that makes me not believe in any of that. Well, besides the fact that it doesn't make sense. You've seen it if you work in like an engineering space and everything. It's like there's, people work cohesively, but at the end of the day, if people want them, you want your name on the big discovery. Like everyone's working on that. So it's like, if you work at company A and company B makes a big discovery that you kind of wanted, you're going to look for all the cracks to be like, hey, man, like you didn't make it. We were working on it beforehand and we have the real thing. There's no like the scientific community is like cohesive, but at the same time, everyone's trying to get the Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
But no, it's like everyone at the end of the day is out to kind of get the most for themselves. Yeah. So it's just like there makes no sense when they're like, oh, the whole industry is hiding this secret. And I'm like, or like there's certain bad science that no one wants to talk about. I'm like, no, there's going to be somebody who thinks they can make a career on it. Like calling out this bad science, because then if they can take down like, you know, Pfizer for bad science, then they're the whistleblower that kind of, you know, they'll shoot up in fame and notoriety and make a lot of money. And right. someone's going to do that. So it's like, it always gets me when it's like, if these things existed just in human nature, people would be fighting for it.
Right.
There isn't this like cohesive secret hiding in both academia and like you only get on a small scale, I guess, like if you have like one research group, because
there's a lot of potential. Like there's enough potential that there was like the people would be clamoring and taking risks to capitalize on it.
Yeah. I was saying that even in what in like in one research group, the lead researcher could like kind of like clamp down and keep everything a secret. But even then, you still get people backstabbing, like stealing other people's data, falsifying stuff. Like it's all like fraud happens all the time. And I'm just like, there's no way in that environment you would have like this secret cure all that no one wants to talk about.
See, that was my argument for the TV show Common Side Effects, that drug really? Would come out.
Oh, it would definitely come out.
Yeah. And that, I have that the one pharmaceutical episode left. I never company finished it. Would want to push it for the fame and notoriety of coming up with it.
I think that from maybe like my adult life, I've realized, because they always tell you in school, they're like, oh, once you get out of high school, it's the adult world. And then you realize actually for the most part, it's high school for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. And it's like everyone will like, we'll liquidate everything. I think one of my favorite examples is like the droughts we have here, right?
Okay.
So California, every once in a while, we just don't get any water. And then everyone's like, oh, God, holy shit, we need water. And then it's like, but we really also want almonds. And then we all have a vote and we say that we want almonds more than we want water. Or no, actually, we don't get to vote on it. They just do it. And then we don't have water and people panic.
Oh, yeah. And then they turn off the water fountains.
The water fountains at public
parks.
Yeah. So like there's a pier in
there's
Ventura.
There's a thirsty tree in Fresno that needs that water.
Needs that water. You cannot drink it. You cannot wash your hands. You cannot use this fish gutting station on the pier, which has a little sink on it. Well, you can use it. You just can't wash the guts off in the ocean. So to me, it's always flabbergasting how they'll panic. Like when there's something happening right now, they'll do something. But mm-hmm. now that we've had a bunch of rain and the drought is like over, there's no more talk of drought and there's no more talk of like long-term plans. Because somebody doing a long-term plan right now, like enacting a long-term plan will cost a lot of money and grief right now and won't provide immediate benefits. And so it ends up getting shit on, right? Because like why spend, you know, $10 billion right now to make our, you know, water system and storage, whatever, more robust?
No, we got to figure out how to get rid of all the extra water right now. We got to make the ditches bigger.
Yeah. So it's kind of like,
upgrade the sewer system.
People definitely operate on like shorter time frames where they don't think like longer into the future. And so it's can I get right now and kind of avoid the consequences? So I think like in general, if people feel like they can get something right now, which would be a very miracle drug, right? Like mm-hmm. a drug that cures everything. Mm. They would take it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like your average person or company, they would say like, if we can make our stock go up right now, we have to do it. We cannot think about the long-term damage it would do. We have to take it right now or someone else will do it.
Like the only caveat that I would agree with is like, obviously pharma companies are out to make money. Like that's a given. And so there are drugs, which are, they're called orphan drugs because it's like they come up with solutions to diseases that they'll never make money mm-hmm. selling the drug for that. But at least in a lot of countries, then there's like a joint venture between the government and the pharma company that kind of subsidizes it. Yeah. That is like just a given. Like they're trying to make money. There are cases where they won't make money, so they don't make
the drug. It's
just
a subsidy.
Whereas like,
it's like we value the thing more than we value the like, mm-hmm. you know, like we're going to force people to pay for it.
But it's like what gets me, for example, like the cure to cancer. I'm like, cancers, I don't know how many subclasses there are, but it's a cancer is a umbrella term for like 300 distinct diseases. I don't know how many it actually is, but it's hundreds. So it's like the way I think about it is if you were to say like, it's almost like describing there's a problem with my car. And someone's like, well, what's the fix for that? And you're like, I can't
depends
give an
on what's
answer.
Wrong, yeah.
Like, yeah, it's like depends on what's wrong. There could be so many different factors and things
or
that I can
multiple
attack.
Things
at
wrong.
The end of the day, or a better example would be like the engine, where it's just
check
like
engine light
that's
is
like
on.
The
no, don't yeah. worry, the whole well, car. Like the whole car is a perfect example.
Like the DNA is what I mean, cancer is a disease of the DNA. So I guess an equivalent could be like, there's something wrong with your engine. What's the fix? And you'd be like, well, it depends what's wrong with the right. engine. They go, no. Why don't you sell a product that just fixes
they do.
It?
It's called
like,
a new
well,
car.
A whole new engine.
Yeah.
It's called a lease.
But it's like the yeah. premise doesn't even make sense, right? Like yeah. the problem is you are missing like, you know, a rubber hose, like a high pressure hose attachment.
Well, I had
the guy's trying
my fuel pump the last time. Like yeah. I was having like, you know, low, like running lean.
Yeah,
and I like tried everything and it just turns out it was not delivering fuel at the pressure because it's like a 20-year-old, you know, a 25-year-old fuel pump. Yeah. And so then it's like,
it's like there's so many
there.
Things that
so it's like how, you know, oh, it's not the engine that's wrong. It's like some other random thing on there.
Yeah.
But I would say like with cancer, it's like there's so many different forms. It's there are ways that like, you know, now they are realizing that there might be a way to just like if you can just target generically cancer cells, you might actually be able to get a more generic version of like an anti-cancer treatment. Mm. But for the longest time, it was just like they're just trying to like attack the specifics of that cancer. And the concept of a fix for cancer just doesn't make sense. Like the premise doesn't make sense. Unless, like I said, now there is some technology coming out where they think maybe they can just like,
sounds like semantics
cancer
to me
cells.
Though. You know, if people say they want a cure for cancer,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be they're going to, you know, they just want all cancer to be
like,
cured.
Yeah, just be happy that you
okay,
have
okay,
cancer.
Okay.
Not all of us can get cancer.
So like I would say that this is maybe a bad example, but it's like the engine thing. I said it's like I want to fix for the engine, and you're like, well, it depends what's wrong with it. Is it like the spark plug is messed
maybe
up, or
maybe
I don't
fucking
know how
wheels fell off?
But it's like there's so many things that can go wrong with an engine. You can't have a single fix. And for the longest time, people were like just fixing different parts. But then one guy comes along and finds out a way to make an engine for $1. It's like, okay, well, then every problem's fixed because you just, like you said, yeah. you just, it's like this modular engine. You just pop in for $1.
That's why we don't,
it's
we like, don't well, recycle things anymore. You just buy a new one and throw the old one away. Like When you fix a car, it's cheaper to throw parts at it than it is to actually diagnose what the problem is.
Oh yeah,
like you do a general diagnosis because you know it's like, well, yeah, I can't, you know,
just drop a new thing in, replace the car.
Yeah, you can buy like a vacuum manifold and like measure all like the piston. Yeah.
Like for $70, but you can get one compression sensor, ratio. You throw it on there, and if that didn't fix it, then you just throw another $70 sensor on there, and you just keep going through.
My point though is that for the longest time, that was how it was. Like I said, the engine example was, you had to go in and fix a specific thing. Whereas, like I said, my understanding is now with cancer, they are trying to go more towards the, oh, it's so cheap to replace the engine. It's $10. Yeah. Just swap it out. Like the treatment could be a blanket treatment, but that technology's like not out yet. And it's also very new, kind of like how they're doing like the mRNA stuff where they're like, hey, we can just have like a generic potential like delivery factor. And all we have to do is change certain little things in the mRNA and we can just target cancers as long as we know genetic factors about it. I'm saying like that's a very generic way to treat cancer, but that concept didn't even exist when this conspiracy theory came out.
Doesn't it kind of, your cells will literally just run any code that you give them?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell? That's like a huge security issue, right?
Yeah. But
a virus is like, here's run this program. Yeah. And your cell's like, yeah, sure.
And you're like, all right. Yeah, yes, sir.
I'll make 10,000 of these.
I'm going to
keep making these until I can't anymore. I love doing this.
I don't even know what analogy it is. Yeah, it's like having a factory with no security and the people will listen to anyone. So you just walk in, tell them, and they're like, okay. And they just start doing it.
But how does a virus go away?
Your body develops antibodies to it.
So there kind of is, but
that
like,
attach. Yeah. Your cells make things that like attach to a virus, and then other cells can see them.
There are many.
So you like, so you can't actually stop the virus from doing its thing. You just, once it's
so there are many
thing,
different types of viruses.
It's like a load cell, right? Like, you can't tell how much force is going through something unless you let it bend. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like a scale. Like you have to bend the metal to know how much force is being put onto the metal.
Yeah.
Like the virus,
your body has to be getting attacked
for it to do something, because otherwise, I don't know, like trying to come up with a unique preventative nature, because then you're going to find another workaround in the next update. You know, the virus is going to come up with a new infiltrate your cell's code base.
There are so many different ways that viruses get in.
So it's easier to let them get in and just destroy them once they start.
Some of them is forceful. Like I think they literally, it's like it's the bacteriophage, the one that looks like a lunar lander. I think it literally lands and just injects its way through the cell wall.
I feel violated.
Whereas other ones like, I think that's how it does it. Other ones like hijack like different, you know, they get absorbed in.
Your cell starts making the virus and then it like explodes and releases them. And then your body makes antibodies. So like, what would happen if your body didn't make antibodies? Would you just turn into jelly eventually?
That'd be crazy.
I think, that's if you're immunocompromised.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, again, this is old and I don't remember everything, but I think the scariest one are the reverse transcriptase there's like RT-DNA, RT-RNA. There's like all these different like versions of viruses. But like for the HIV one, the reason why it's such a pain in the ass is because, like COVID, for example, gets into your cells, throws some DNA, like Kevin says, your body gets hacked to make their proteins. The proteins leave, hijacks your whole system to remake the virus, and then it creates itself and then blows your cell up. But once you get rid of the virus, you're more or less viral free. But HIV is a class of, I forget if it like RT-RNA or RT, I forget what it is. I think it's RT-RNA. I don't remember everything. This is so old info for me. But it's such a douche because it goes into your cell, into your nucleus, and then it splices itself into your DNA.
That's fine.
So it,
yeah,
I believe like there's certain viruses that straight up just add themselves to your DNA.
Computer too. So even if you reinstall Windows,
how about you splice into my DNA and make it so I don't get diarrhea anymore? Like
we literally have the technology.
I don't know what's taking them so
long. Do they not realize that if they did even one good thing, then they could do a bad thing and we would be like, it's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah. Like they tried.
Just let me, I don't know, like let me see better in the dark. I don't fucking know. Like that would be sick. What do you want?
No, but viruses
maybe not what
is
I
a,
want, but
viruses
what if there
are,
was a just a little DNA sequence they could splice in there that makes your pee-pee grow?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. But what if it doesn't stop?
There isn't.
Then what do you
think? Well, they tried.
There is like there is a theory that.
Uh-oh. Wait.
There is a theory that a lot of your animal DNA and everything is from viruses because they did splice themselves in, and that's part of evolution.
Mm.
And it accelerates evolution by just like introducing random mutations.
Many of you will die, but that is a risk I'm willing to take.
A healthy life starts with great sleep. Wake refreshed with Avocado's GOTS certified organic green mattress, delivering breathable, back-loving support, natural materials from Avocado's own sustainable wool and latex farms, easy financing, a one-year sleep trial, and deep, restorative slumbers. Organic sleep awaits at avocadomattress.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We should talk about Kevin's gambling thing. I kind of feel like that ties in this pretty well.
Okay,
Kevin's
gambling
addiction.
I'm also thinking about this. We've got to be so close to curing like every disease, right?
Probably.
I feel like everybody's probably said this since the beginning of time.
I feel like I can't help but feel like neural networks and a large amount of computation is a very good way to like
recognize patterns.
And I just, part of me feels like there is no way that you don't end up with medical advances based off of many people's research that never like coincided. And so like connecting dots across 600 individual papers, like I was thinking even when
also,
I was fixing
like,
my
all
car.
All the DNA, you know, so many people have done 23andMe and all those other things.
Well, they're not going to use that for anything useful. They're just going to use it to the rat.
Well, they went bankrupt and they're probably gonna didn't they go bankrupt and they're just gonna sell off your DNA to a private buyer
to the highest
bidder. Hell yeah.
But like even when I was fixing my car, I was like, there has to be like if you have a certain diagnosis, whether it's like air codes or driving patterns or maybe even like a weird vibration, like I know they do like this sort of advanced analysis with expensive machinery, like FFTs, where they're like watching the harmonics of the machine all the time. And when they change, it means something mechanically is changing.
Yeah.
And then you can pretty much tell like, oh, we got to replace a bearing. We got to do this. We got to do that. Or the machine's going to rattle itself. You know, but like something
they can tell like
down.
What's wrong based on what's like the vibrational pattern.
Exactly. And so like, if you have enough information and you have enough, like, oh, I replaced this sensor and it didn't fix it, this sensor and I didn't fix it, this sensor and I didn't fix it. Like, mm-hmm. here's the symptoms and here's what was tried and here's, like, what worked. Like, if you do that enough times, you can cross-reference and find patterns that are, like, would be maybe impossible to find by hand or with using traditional methods. So I cannot imagine how, like, scientific, you know, like, medical discoveries couldn't be done the same way with a bunch of people's research. Basically amalgamating to at least connecting some dots to help speed up.
I think what's I agree, and I think like AI will help. I do think that what was kind of interesting, because I did a minor in pharmacology, so there was a lot of talk about that. And I mean, this is like, when I think about it now, it's kind of like doo-doo poo-poo version of AI. But there was something, I think it was called mass throughput screening. And when it came out, they were like, why are we trying to, you know, screen one drug at a time? We could screen 100,000 drugs and just shotgun method. And it didn't, there was like a controversy about it because it didn't really pan out in the way that people thought. And then they had to like, they realized, I think the limitation were the models, not really the throughput. And then there's like a classic example of my grandfather had that cancer, and unfortunately he passed away from it. But it was it's the cancer with it's CML, I think. Like a leukemia. I think it's CML, but there's like a specific mutation in the chromosome where like two of your chromosomes swap, like basically get cut in half and swap, and it messes things up. And there's a whole story about it because they thought that treating that with a drug was impossible. Mm-hmm. And there's these scientists who are convinced that you could do it. And everyone's like, no, you are dumb. Basically, this is impossible to target this molecule. It's in every cell. You cannot single it out in the cancer cells. It's impossible. And then they did it, and everyone's like, oh, our models aren't that accurate.
I think it's kind of turned out that the easiest ones to treat so far have been, like, genetic-related, you know, like, cancers. It's like,
well, oh,
like if they can just edit a gene, they can, like...
Yeah, so gene editing is possible. All I want to say about this one was just that AI, the problem with AI is that its limitation will always be the data and the models that it has. Maybe it'll get to the point where it makes new models, but you kind of need new data for that. And it's like, it can guide and maybe suggest prodding in one
that's
direction.
That's kind of what I was thinking, is like more of like a dot connector. Because most discoveries like this, are they done by someone being like, oh, I think it's this and I think it's that? Or is it just trying a billion things until they get the right, you know, material properties out of like, you know, like how many?
Yeah.
I was thinking about this the other day. Like, how did they make stainless steel?
Oh, dude,
didn't like that. They had steel that stained, so they didn't like that.
And they just tried putting bleach on it, and that didn't work. And so they started drinking the bleach, and then they had a really good idea. Like, how many?
It was just somebody that was like, "Huh, I wonder what happens if I do this."
But like, how many variations did they do to get like 304?
A bazillion.
304. Like, no, I'm joking.
Oh, yeah. I
mean, on our 318th, we found this alloy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like there is no way that there is a model that can predict the like the properties of a stainless steel alloy. Like they had tried things over and over again, right? Like
nowadays it's crystallography and all that stuff with like different elements. I think there's enough data that AI could do. I think what's hard with like biology is it's kind of like the reason I used the example of that drug was it was targeting something called kinases, which are I forget exactly. My memory's so, it's been so long, but I don't remember what they do. But they're in every cell, cancer or not. They're just more active in the cancer cell. And the way that like people's entire knowledge of drug targeting, they were like, the other one, you can't target this. It's like not possible. They're like, our understanding of biology and pharmacology just does not allow you to do this. Then they did it. And they're like, oh, our understanding needs to be tweaked.
But people's understanding is based off of like what is the easiest to understand. And if like a more complicated model can be, like imagine if you took
one
person,
like
10 people's knowledge about a variety of different medical things and combine them, they'd probably come to some new interesting conclusions that they never would have with their brain separated.
But I guess a way to describe it would be more in, maybe not to that extent, but like people's belief about certain things in the biological realm when they build these big models, even in chemistry and stuff. It's kind of the data is so strong that it's kind of like someone being like, oh, we don't the law of thermodynamics. That's not like a law, is it? And like people just kind of be like, bro, like you're not going to really we're not letting you put time and money into like making your perpetual motion machine. Mm. Like you're just, but then if he does, everyone's like, oh, I guess it wasn't a law. And they just change their model. But it's like, if you're, that does happen in science quite often. Where it's like if you then have your AI based on that, I find it would be hard to get out of the model. Like it's not going to make a new model.
Yeah, I'm
because you need competing data.
One of the engineers I used to work with before YouTube, one thing he said that I still think about is like he called all of these like programmatic solutions or like solutions to problems like another tool in the toolbox, right? So imagine you do a project and you have to learn how to do like FFTs.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, I understand how this works.
Yeah.
And so it's like another tool in your toolbox. You do a project and you learn how to use like a motor controller. And you're like, oh, it's another tool in my toolbox.
Yeah. It's like, do I really want to learn all of this just for this one problem?
Right.
And then you learn it and you realize, oh, you can actually apply it to
exactly.
a lot of different
problems.
So then
you get to like other problems in the future and you're like, oh, wait, like I know a solution because I have the all these different tools in my toolbox. I know I can go from like a battery to a boost converter to a this to a that. Like you sort of have all these dots, these like modules in your head that you can combine. You're like,
unlocking the skill tree.
Exactly.
And then there's a synergy like later on.
Right.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, even building like the pain machine, it's a bunch of like little things that I've learned, like little tools in my toolbox of, you know, making an LED turn on. It's like, well, how do you get a fire pattern for the LED to make it look like a blowtorch? So I like found a video of a blowtorch, and none of this is actually in the video. And then I brought it into After Effects because I know that inside of After Effects, I can like select an area of pixels and then I can convert those pixels to keyframes and then I can pull those keyframes out. And I like copy the keyframes and paste them into ChatGPT and say, make me a C++ array. And then it gives me a C++ array of those keyframes. And then that makes RGB. It's just like I'm taking all these things that I've like learned over my life and combining them into like useful applications to solve a problem.
Yeah. You don't even actually have to know how to do these things. Yeah. You just have to know they exist. Yeah.
And so if you know they exist, then you can go and learn how to do it. And you're like, oh, I think if I do this, you know, so it's like a lot of, I think even these conversations with AI is like speculation of like, if an AI is good at connecting like patterns, complicated patterns and large data sets together, then how come it's like, it seems like it obviously it's possible to take a large data set of research, of people's research and data, and say, hey, I've noticed that there's a weird trend over here that correlates with some input. And then you have a same input in a completely different study. Yeah. Like maybe people with higher cholesterol, and there's two completely different studies, you like link, you can start like cross-linking things where it's like,
I think something even that would just at the very, like in my mind, just immediately AI could do kind of what you're saying, is that if you speak to people in like the chemistry world, and asked them like, what's going on in like, you know, the biology? I hear they're kind of looking into the same molecule as you. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Biology, those losers. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's chemistry journals, there's biology journals, there's, you know, engineering journals, and there's conferences for each, but they never intermingle.
It's very isolated.
And, but that's just kind of how it has to be. But if you do have this like overarching brain that's crunching the numbers from all of them, yeah, they might be like, hey, this kind of thing that's happening over here that never interacts with this space, there's actually a connection.
Yeah.
And when it comes to diseases, like especially degenerative diseases, like ALS.
Degenerates.
Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, I don't know. Like there's got to be, like what sets it off? There's like, I almost think of it like there's got to be something like, say you're trying to get your SEM, your electron microscope working. And it's like the password, you know, you could only figure out the password, it would work. Well, you don't need to know the password, because if you could get inside the chip, there's one transistor that you have to turn on, and it bypasses the password.
Yeah. It's just like one little memory address that you can make it do, or you just get rid of the chip and just directly, provide 5 volts to that one thing to turn on too. Yeah.
Just put on some safety goggles, some gloves, get a hammer.
So like, what is that? What's that like little bit or transistor like in the progression of this disease that like that's all you have to do is maybe stop this one process from happening,
right?
Like you don't even have to cure the disease, right? Like you just have to stop, treat that one system that's gone haywire.
Being able to crunch like a problem that has an
I have no idea what I'm
basically
talking
about, borderline infinite.
That's how most things happen.
But it's got to be like that, right?
You ask questions by trying to
really
connect dots, and then you
web.
Go and research and you realize it doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
I would actually be really interested to hear from someone that has like any proximity to medical neural network research to see like, is there actually anything that resembles like productive, progress towards, like combining research and finding, either interesting ideas or theories.
Well, I think we have to learn all the pathways of every molecule and we have to know all the molecules first before we can give it to a model.
Simulate the universe?
We do. We have to, literally.
This might actually just be a stupid conversation because it's like, but that's the thing. It's like, I have no idea.
We're doing pretty good though. I mean, so far.
I mean, that's how most of this works. You think it should work. You go and test it and then you discover like maybe.
You're like, oh, shit's fucked.
Oh.
Yeah, you're like, oh, no.
One thing
think. It's like the difference between a CT scanner and a MRI machine. We could build in a week or less a CT scanner. We could not build an MRI machine. So you're like, oh, I like the idea of a 3D scan, blah, 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 X-ray.
One day.
You go and research it, and you say, oh, there's literally no way we're going to be able to achieve MRI, but we absolutely, in our garage, can build a CT scan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, that's how it works. Like, you have ambitions.
I was going to say that the one major benefit of AI I found for research, and something I've thought about before, is a lot of the chemistry I did early on in the channel, Kevin probably has experienced this before. I mean, in his chemistry days, a lot of the papers and stuff you follow, they're from like old books. Like, you'll find, you know, some recipe for something in an old book, but like
the original Coca-Cola recipe. the good stuff.
A lot of the old chemistry was like robust, easy chemistry. It's just like mix chemical A and B, like, you know, filter it, distill something, boom, you're done. But then the modern stuff is like, put it into a high pressure stainless steel vessel and crank it to 3000 PSI at 400 C. And you're like, oh my God.
You can only do this during a new moon. And
but it's like, and put in catalyst, patented catalyst HK246. You're like, I have no idea what's happening. And it's like, but they go, oh, it was like, you know, Dow Corning came up with this new thing. And you go, okay, well, how did the guy make it in the lab before? Everyone's like, well, I don't know. That's we don't know anymore. Because a lot of this info got kind of like outdated, because the next time, like the like one that was more efficient just got adopted. Well, the more efficient one gets adopted, and then it kind of like moves towards like industrialization. But then people are only producing the info to the stuff that people are doing. And so you fast forward like 200 years and nobody's talking about the old stuff. So even like an example could be like, you know, vinyl records. You fast forward like, you know, in 100 years and you're way past that tech. There'll be a guy who discovers, you know, how to make sound from a piece of plastic. And he's...
Yeah, uploads it to YouTube and gets a million views. Yeah.
He's like, I found this in a book from like 100 years ago. It's like, it's completely lost information.
Yeah.
But it's because the way humans work is they just keep updating things in this like window of information that's always moving forward. The only way you can search it is like the kind of for those things and the random old books. But I find AI has been super powerful because it kind of takes like everything that's ever been discovered and lets you actually search it without keywords.
Yeah.
And it will like give you a list of all of the information.
Whereas
Google would always be like the most recent stuff.
I upload manuals. I'll make projects at ChatGPT. I will upload a manual and I will give it instructions that it's only allowed to give me information from the manual unless otherwise explicitly stating that it did not find it in the manual. And it makes debugging stuff so fast.
It's
cool.
Because you can just ask it a question.
Yeah.
And then you've been pretty aggressive with telling it only to look through the manual. And so it can sift through information very quickly.
Yeah.
Based off of kind of
it's actually so good for that.
Yeah. It's very powerful. Like, I would 100% recommend if you're like, even for your like your car or a new tool, like something where you actually like, I installed a new water heater and I threw the manual into it. And I said, how does the recirculation pump on this on-demand water heater work? And then it explained exactly how it worked. And then it was like, what page in the manual is it listed?
Oh, yeah.
And then I go look at the manual and see if there's any additional information that, you know, it wasn't just a complete, you know, AI schizo moment.
Because, you know, you open the manual and it's like,
oh, my God. It's like 100 or 300 pages.
Yeah.
For a water heater.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I've done it too where you slam the manual into ChatGPT and then it'll be like, based on this manual, can you tell me how to like reset it to factory settings? And it tells you all the buttons to do, and I don't even have to open the manual.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Whereas before, it's like, what section is it in? Is it like you have to look through the index? Mm-hmm. You're like, I think it's in this section. Read through all this trash.
No, 100%. All right,
I had ChatGPT. All right,
I got news for you guys.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Why did the word window
updating its information?
Okay.
The Pope is dead.
Wait, the Pope died.
The Pope died.
When did that happen?
I think like a week ago.
Wait. So what did you say? What's updating its information?
Humanity. You said something earlier about humanity updates its information, and I'm like, the Pope's dead.
How did the Pope die?
They're not releasing that information.
Was it drugs? I bet it was drugs.
I bet J.D. Vance knows. So the reason I bring up the Pope's death is because they have to choose a new Pope.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a currently there's a bet going on Like, where?
Wait, Kevin, is this on Polymarket?
This is on Polymarket.
Okay,
I knew it.
This website was banned in America.
So let me tell you guys about Polymarket.
Is so funny. I go any further.
It's a gambling website. You bet in crypto. It's banned in the United States.
Yeah. Honestly, that's all you had to tell me to know that this is a bad thing.
Nigel, can you access
it? Banned. You can't go to the website? I can go to Polymarket.
I mean, I can too, but I can't bet on anything from the U.S.
I was just laughing because some of the bets were so ludicrous. One of the bets was how many tweets will Elon Musk make between April 28th and May 5th. And you could just bet on how many tweets he's making.
I have a collection of some of the best bets currently on
the greatest bets.
Okay.
Okay.
How much time do you spend every day on this?
Have you bet? I'm doing my research. Wait, it's called market research, due diligence.
Have you bet on anything?
Maybe.
Which ones?
Well...
Wait, can I say one thing before you say?
Okay, I'll tell you which one I bet on.
The thing that I just want to say this one thing that got me is I was looking at it a lot when the Canadian election was happening, and all I have to say is some people really, I guess it's just a gambling addiction because Polymarket gives the odds. Some of the stuff was straight up 99-1, and people are still betting on the 1%.
That's a huge return if you do win, though.
If you're betting on Polymarket, you have to realize who else is betting on Polymarket, and that makes a lot of the bets a lot more clear and easy.
The comments too were actually insane.
No, because the bets haven't resolved yet.
Okay.
So here's
Kevin. Is there a live chat during the bets?
There is. Yeah.
No.
There's a comment section, so you can see people like trash talking each other.
There's a whole comment section that you can live trash talk the other bettors.
Can we just unplug these light bulbs?
But yeah, people really need to stop betting on things with really bad odds.
All right, here, let me give you some example markets currently open.
I'm scared.
Will the next pope be a manlet? That's 5'8" or under.
Who's brokering this? Oh, that's the real 5'8".
5'8" or under.
So who's making these?
Points? Wait, less than 5'8" is a manlet? That's rude.
That's disrespectful. Okay, so I don't know if you can know the answer to this, but is Polymarket making these?
I think it's Polymarket. It would be really cool if you could basically make your own bet, right?
And somebody's verifying. Someone's verifying them.
Yeah. So then they do it internally.
So then the Polymarket is escrowing the money. So you like pay money to bet.
Yeah,
they hold on to it. They take some commission.
Yeah,
and then who's like they're the escrow that's deciding if
which side gets the money.
So, is it ambiguous? Like
usually not. Some of them are really ambiguous. By the way, the Pope one is 74% no, 26% yes. Are those current odds?
26% think it's gonna be a manlet.
Yeah,
which is under 5'8".
I don't know who's in the running, you know, but we'll see. So here's one of the ones that's pretty.
John, how tall are you? Oh, John's just barely out of manlet. Hi.
So here's a vague one. RFK announces he found the cure for autism, or no, for the cause of autism.
So just saying that they found it, or
that
do they say
him
what it is?
Or an affiliated team have found the cause of autism.
So all he has to do is say, we have
honestly
found.
I think that's 100%.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, because they don't have to
it's by August 24th or something.
Yeah, no, because he claimed that he put people in charge or something to get the cause for autism by then. He's obviously going to say something.
Yeah,
Kevin, put your money on that.
That's the real bet.
So does that include like, we have discovered something, but we need more research? Or is it like we have discovered the cure? Because like, what if it's a soft one? Like how do they handle that?
All he has to say is we found something that causes autism. It's like, we know that.
What if it's we think we've discovered
like an
something?
Official
oh, yeah, I think that's fine. I don't think it has to be factual.
He has to come out and officially make an announcement of anything.
Yeah. So if he says that, them saying they're on the right path,
it's probably not going to be true.
So he's definitely not going to say that they didn't. So it just seems like a matter of a time bet of like,
so are you
when?
That's what Kevin's saying. He's like, you're betting on whether they're going to.
By August. Are you a yes or a no?
I think I would say yes. I think they would
say
he's
yes.
Gonna say
he's gonna. He's gonna say anything. Money, Kevin, what about this one?
30% yes.
Really?
70% no.
Why would he say no? I would say I think the likelihood is he's absolutely going to say yes. The problem is when.
Yeah. Trump declassifies UFOs in 2025.
No, that won't happen. 75%
yes.
That won't. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wait, we can make bank on this website.
banned on X before July.
Yeah, didn't he already get banned?
Did he?
He just got banned from Twitch in like 7 minutes or something like that, right?
He's not banned on Twitter yet.
This
is from last week.
Okay. I swear to God, he was posting the most insane shit like a month ago and then he got banned.
But he's probably back.
Did they
I don't know.
Ban him? So if he just gets banned again?
I think
he was banned in December.
I don't know. I confidently posting
some of the worst stuff I've ever seen. I think I shared some.
I can't confidently say that he will be banned or not.
I feel like he should be banned, but I don't think he. Dude, what did he post? He posted about, dude, I don't even want to read some of the stuff. This guy's crazy,
dude.
See if I can find
Wait, who, Kevin? I hope this isn't in your list. Will there be a mega quake in May?
No.
So around the world, will there be an earthquake of magnitude 8.0 or greater in May?
Ooh.
Only 7% say that it will.
I think that's like statistically, look at how often it happens. You could
probably... $27,000 worth of money has been put on this. Where some people are betting for or against.
I like that. That's a good bet.
I think the education system is,
because that's one you could just do a little bit of research and find out the actual odds. There's some other ones that, like, every day there's one in what's the high temperature going to be in London?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
It's like a recurring one.
I got some Yee tweets, but I'm like actually afraid to read these. Yee, can I read this? I don't want to read this.
Oh, okay. I mean, I like that. That's a funny tweet.
So Yee saying, he tweeted.
But I got to say, it's yay.
Yay? Yay?
I think.
No. Is it?
Because it's con yay.
Kanye. Oh, well, who knows?
Who
okay, I should fact check.
So,
this.
this is like, how long ago was this? April. Kanye West tweeted, "I'm mad I haven't fucked Taylor Swift yet."
No, I'm mad I haven't fucked Taylor Swift. Dot dot dot.
Oh
yeah.
Oh no!
Implying there's a chance.
That sounds. That's
I
a
actually,
threat.
I'm like,
that's a straight
I
up
feel
threat.
So uncomfortable reading this. Kanye West tweeted like an hour or 2 hours after
I think,
that, or before that. I used to do this hug where I press my wiener. He says, God, I think I just need to read this verbatim. This is Kanye West, by the way. I feel like a radio talk show host. Kanye West earlier tweeted, "I used to do this hug where I press my cock against a girl's leg and place my hands right where my pinky can touch the top of their ass, like right under the small of their back." Kanye West, ladies and gentlemen. If this doesn't get him banned from Twitter,
just... He's just straight up admitting.
I
like how he has to clarify, like right above their ass crack,
yeah.
Like right where my finger can touch it. Like,
I don't even want to say he's admitting to a crime. He's admitting to just being an absolute
who everybody, yeah,
degenerate is not even the right like topic of word. Like, there's just there's something so much worse that I don't know what the word is to describe like the actual like.
I still think both of those tweets out of context are really funny.
If
anybody else tweeted those,
it is like there's certain Twitter personalities that in their heyday probably could have gone away with that. But the fact that that sort of becomes
crazy.
It's like real. It's like basically too real.
The fact that he's crazy makes it creepy.
Anyways, I don't think he'll get banned from X is my bet.
Okay.
Twitter or whatever the hell. I think that if he stays on with those, then there's very
You wouldn't make a lot of money with that though. I mean,
everyone agrees he won't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's less about Kanye and more about Twitter.
I don't even understand this Polymarket thing.
So there's one more. Nothing ever happens. God. This bet, it resolves no if there's a Russia-Ukraine ceasefire, South Korea president is reinstated, Pete Hegseth is quit or is fired, the Turkey Erdogan quits, or Israel ceasefire.
Any of them?
If any of those happens, then it's
like
no.
I need a spreadsheet.
So 96% of people believe nothing ever happens. None of these are going to happen in 2025.
Okay, so nobody believes. So if any of them happen.
If any of them happen.
It's kind of like a crazy. Wait, so this is Russia, UK, Ukraine.
Yeah.
Okay, so Russia, Ukraine ceasefire. No one thinks it's going to happen.
South Korea. South Korea president reinstated.
That's the guy that got kicked out, right?
I think so.
That's probably not going to happen. Pete Hegseth quit fired. That might happen.
That one might happen.
Erdogan. How do you say it?
Erdogan.
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 That's how you pronounce that?
Erdogan. I don't think that's going to happen.
Is that Turkey, right?
I feel maybe that's pretty good odds. I would bet my life savings on that. What's the brokerage fees? How much what do they take out of the pool?
I think it's like one. I don't think it's very much.
So then, like, I guess you just have to, do you trust it?
Yeah, I trust it. And, there's another one called Manifold, another market.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing. But you need a VPN to do it, I guess. So explain that to the IRS when you win a bunch of money. When you steal everybody else's money. When something happens.
What an interesting website.
Yeah.
Why are...
I wish that I could go on there and, like, you know, get, I don't know, do bets. Like,
Kevin, I have
like
some...
Make your own bets?
Yeah.
I have two good ones.
2025?
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Can I submit
I have
that?
A good...
We can rig it, too.
I have I'll a good bet.
A video. What do they call that? Throwing a fight?
Yeah. Some kind of serious fraud.
Wait, Kevin, what is the likelihood of you posting a video in 2025?
Oh, it's pretty high.
I would say 100%.
I keep telling people I'm going to post two.
I feel like you have to post at least
sauce,
one.
So.
That I don't believe.
Oh, damn.
I would bet no on Polymarket.
So bet no? Nigel?
I have two Polymarket questions.
Yeah.
I bet one before open sauce.
I bet that too. That's my bet.
Okay.
What's the question? I want to hear your Polymarket. I like this idea. I like...
How many gold cards will Trump sell in 2025?
Oh, man. I don't think I know enough about...
Is it a tiered system?
30% of people say zero.
Really?
14% say 1 to 100. Then it goes like 101 to 1K.
Oh, God. You have to bet... You have to choose a category?
Mm-hmm. I think I would choose that one.
1 to 100?
No, 100 to 1K.
Is this like a thing that you can actually get right now? Or are they just talking about it? You can actually pay for it right now?
Do you get it back if you decide to leave?
Yeah.
The comments are saying that you have to like Congress has to approve of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, is there a guarantee even that this is a thing that
can
happen?
Oh, okay.
That would be my hesitation is like, is it actually even allowed right now?
But wait, it says this was asked by this guy.
Can we submit our questions?
I think you can submit it and they might like, if they like them, they put them on the website.
I think so. I think that's why some of them are kind of deranged.
I like this
like
other
the
one.
This
one barely makes sense. This one barely makes sense. It says, what will Trump say this week? First one, MAGA. Second one, Kamala. Third one, Pete/Hegseth. Next one, baby. And the next one, 51st state. What
I like,
that's
I
it.
Really
oh,
like
no,
the
and then,
Trump
sorry,
bingo
sorry.
Ones. There's a lot of those on.
And oh wait, Kevin, you can bet on each individual one. The other ones that were resolved as yes was crypto/Bitcoin, governor, and pope. And you can bet yes or no on each of them.
That's good.
I don't know.
Will he say baby? Why is that an option?
I don't know if I'm like proud of this or if we should be ashamed of this. Like the fact that there's this website where people are just like betting against like the stake of the future of like their lives and other people's lives. Like
he did this interview recently with somebody and one of the bets for that interview is he's going to say million, billion, trillion combined at least 10 times in the interview.
Wow.
I'm just thinking like imagine you like go to school and all the kids have a bet on like what the things a teacher is going to do that day are. Like if I was a teacher, I would be so uncomfortable. You're like, what are you guys doing? You're going to learn. Why is this like you've gamified your life?
Trump looks into the camera and says Pete/Hegseth.
Yeah. Why is he going to be throwing these?
Yeah.
Wait, what about this one? 4chan gets confirmed as a Fed operation.
That's not happening.
I mean, it
1% chance.
How many bets are
it
there
needs
in total?
$15,000 worth of money has been put on.
What about like entirely on the website? Like how many people are betting?
Oh, I don't know.
You can go to the leaderboards and see.
This is like why you can't like legally access this site from the US.
Yeah, we couldn't handle it.
You can't, it's so bad.
I mean, look at sports betting.
I don't know how that's allowed.
I don't, yeah.
I feel like that shouldn't be allowed.
It shouldn't.
It's also like a huge amount of like marketing.
If I can't do it, then why are they allowed to set up their own sports betting websites?
I don't,
you know, they make it too hard.
I don't understand. I don't understand why that's why. Like, and all, like, yeah, half like the influencer marketing campaigns around it too are just like, oh man.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, the lottery is bad, but you know, at least they give the money to education or.
I think gambling is fun. I feel like it should be restricted to like some percentage of your income though, where it's like you legally cannot gamble more than like 5% of your income. So it's like fun money, not like I've messed my life up money.
I think it should either be like fully legal or the government should be in control of all of it.
Yeah. I mean, you know how it works here, right?
With the Indians?
With the Native Americans. The reservation. So
yeah, like, that's cool. That's I totally get that.
That's,
wait, do they run everything, even the sports betting websites?
Oh, that's a good question. That might be how it works.
Yeah.
That might actually be how it works.
Yeah.
Because that's the only legal loophole here is for the Native American reservations have. I don't know exactly, but they don't have to follow our
federal
rules.
As many?
I think there might still be like, but yeah, I don't know.
For them.
It's got to be some rules, right?
I found another good one. New coronavirus pandemic in 2025.
See, that's
8% chance.
We can make that happen.
Who's gonna quantify that?
I like what one of the comments. No, because they've already accomplished their objectives. Something else is on the horizon.
Put your money on it, coward.
Nigel, can you get a CRISPR machine? And then
yes,
can we bet
we'll
all of money
mod
all of the money on yes? I'll take the hit.
Wow.
For 50%. You two get 25 each.
Just, let's go.
All right. We'll see you guys over on Safety Third Patreon. I think we're gonna do a Q&A today because we're prepping for the open source show we're shooting. And Nigel, what are you doing? Why do you have less time?
What do I have left?
You said
today?
You had to be fast today.
Oh, I just have to leave on time.
Okay. That's respectable.
For once.
So we'll see you guys over on Patreon. Thank you guys for supporting the Safety Third podcast and helping us pay
my gambling
John's
addiction.
Bills, Kevin's debts. His incredible debts.
Kevin's crippling polymarket addiction.
We'll see you guys on Patreon. Links in the description below if you want to subscribe. Bye.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.